And this is, I'm going to read from the ESV, so this is what you can compare with. Just kind of follow along. You do a little Bible study in-house today in comparison. This is a paraphrase. So, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so I'm going to invite Scott Slade up here to talk. And while he's coming up, these are a couple things that we did through this Romans 12 section. This it called us to remember these two things, that we sought to avoid the worldly and religious hypocrisy by studying the Sermon on the Mount. The elders and other speakers faithfully brought us God's word for the transformation of our souls. And then we also sought after the Lord and his word to discern what was good, what was acceptable, what was perfect. And we presented our bodies as a church for his future, for our future.
Thank you. Wow, it's great to see that slideshow and see so many things happen in the last 6 months. So many new lives. I didn't realize there had been that many babies. But over 6 months ago, I came to you on behalf of the elders to tell you about this sabbatical thing and how it was going to work and what the purpose was and all of that. And to reassure you, it was not to prepare Chris to move on to some other ministry or whatever, that we were actually investing in him for the long haul, that we want Chris to minister here as long as the Lord would have him for the rest of his life, if that would be. And so it really was an investment in him. But I also mentioned, again, of the elders' confidence that this would not only be a blessing to Chris, but that it would be something that the Lord would work in all of us, that we would learn to not just, that we would learn that Christ is the head of this church, that we would be willing to trust him more, and maybe not lean quite so much on a senior pastor to just be the one with all the answers. And that I really see that in those slides too, a reassurance that we're all part of a family, and we're a family regardless of who's standing up here or who's here 1 week to the next. And I think that was something that was a great blessing to all of us. I know it was to the elders. People thought, oh, that's crazy. How are we going to survive for 6 months? And so, you know, many hands make light work. We divided up the sermon preaching. I'm sure Chris will share on how this last 6 months has ministered to him when he gets back. But on behalf of the elders, we can testify God did show up. He did bless us. He spoke to us. It's always the blessing of the person who's preparing the message gets to probably more benefit than the people that are hearing it even. But we did see amazing ways that God worked in just setting everything up. God used Luke, for example, Luke Schaub. He was the one that decided or made the suggestion, why don't we preach through the Sermon on the Mount? And there was some discussion about that, and there were some concerns. Is that going to be really the best thing? And we went with it, and I think God affirmed that that was the right choice. So he used Luke, he used Scott Trickett to make out the schedule, to decide who's going to preach when. And we didn't know how that was going to work, but it was amazing the way God spoke in particular ways through particular people for the passages that he had set aside, that he worked through Scott to arrange. So I praise him for that. It made us appreciate Chris Langford so much more. You know, when one of us goofballs comes up here and preaches, you know, it's like a month to prepare, at least for me anyway, to prepare that for that one Sunday, and he does it every Sunday, and it makes us appreciate him. I don't know how he does it exactly. It's a little bit like that old joke with a guy beating his head against the wall. You know, if you asked me, why do you like to preach? I'd say, because it feels so good when I stop. And I'm thankful that Chris is coming back. But I am thankful that the Lord did use many voices. It was a blessing to hear Jack Littlefield up here again. and so many other voices, and Brad and Tina Reynolds, and just hearing others that had not preached before. And even through great challenges, the Lord spoke. I'll just give you one quick example. Keith Bowers, as God would have it, his assigned preaching, he preached twice, but the second time, he had just gone through the death of his father, and then later on, a short time after that, the death of his stepmother. And at the same time, he's preparing to preach. And again, not something he's used to doing. He's only done it, I think, three times in his whole life. So he's asked to preach, and it happens to be that time when he's going through that trial. And yet the Lord comes through. The Lord speaks to his heart in a particular way because of that time. And blessed him, and I think all of us were blessed as well. So just praise God that we can thank him for all the ways that he worked, and for his word being powerful, no matter who is speaking it, it does not return void. And so I want to praise him for that, and I would ask if you would pray with me now. Heavenly Father, we are thankful. Thankful that you spoke on that hill thousands of years ago, Lord, that you spoke those words that you ordained would be sealed for us throughout the centuries, that we'd be able to hold on to it today and still share those words of Jesus. That we'd be able to know what your kingdom is all about, the way your kingdom works, not the way the world is working. Lord, help us to hold on to that. Father, forgive us when we forget and stray from that. Thank you that your word is consistent even when we are not. Lord, keep us in your word. Keep us reminded of your faithfulness during this time and of your great word of the Sermon of the Mount. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Romans 12, verse 4 and 5. Oh, sorry, I skipped verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. We learned a lot about sabbatical, how we need to hold ministry roles loosely. Because it's in our pride that we think that God needs to use us. I think I'm speaking from staff here. Jesus has been very faithful to teach us about how to rest in him for our soul, so that we can focus on being and not only just doing. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for caring about our souls, for the rest that you called us to provide for Chris and for Melinda and for the family. Thank you for establishing Sabbath rest so that we can enjoy your presence and learn to trust you. Thank you for helping us love you by resting. And to please continue, Lord, carry this out. Teach us how to rest solely in you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 4 and 5 says, for as in one body we have many members. Look around. Many members. And the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many in one body, are in Christ and individually members of one another. We belong to each other. We had opportunities that we can continue to meet together right here every week and depend on each other, like Scott said, the elders and others, new musicians, new people in the soundboard, new ushers, new deacons, or not new deacons, but new roles being taken on, men's ministry, stepping into things, and we continue to do those things. Jesus protected our unity. You know, there weren't a lot of people saying, yeah, we'll just wait till Chris gets back because this is messy. No, we stuck together at a time. We could have had many internal problems, but God's Spirit kept us together. We're going to respond now. I'd like us to do a responsive. We've been working through liturgy kind of moments in our worship service, and we've been doing prayers of response. So as we think about these things, God protecting us, God providing for us, and looking around this morning and seeing the glory of this gathering, let's respond to Jesus in this prayer. Jesus, you did a marvelous thing by making the church. You made us dependent on each other as our eye is on our hand. And you gave us your Spirit to draw us together. Thank you for making us different from each other and giving us the opportunity to step up in various ways. It was so good to get to see you working through so many people. We praise you for your gifting, your church. Verse 6 through 8. And having these different gifts, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. We saw so many gifts unleashed this season. We saw that the elders brought the prophetic word. We finally were able to give to go live with our website. We had a generous offering one week of $15,000. We had Holy Week devotionals, and we experienced a different way of worshiping that Holy Week and preparing. And I want to invite Cherie Enyat to come up and share about that with us for a moment as she's making her way up. So you guys can be a little louder too, you know, when you want to say we forgot something or, hey, and remember this. So you have freedom to call out today, say that. But after this week, no more. You can never do that again. But today, with poor Cherie up here, if you want to call out, no, I'm just kidding, not on her. You have to grab that mic, Cherie, and just right here at the mouth. Yep, it's on. You're good.
Good morning. Is this loud enough? Okay. Well, it really is wonderful to look out at all of your faces because we just love this church. Cameron and I and our family, we just love this church. And the past 6 months have really been amazing for our beloved little church here. You know, by God's grace and the leading of the Holy Spirit, by Jesus' power and his example, I believe that we have not only survived this past 6 months, but that we've really thrived in unity. And it's really been affirming to see that our little church, that truly Christ is the heart of our church and leader. As we learn deeper truths of the message of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we put it into practice as a united body. And that was just a beautiful thing to behold. For Cam and I, one of many beautiful experiences we appreciated during this time was during Holy Week. For probably the past decade or so, Cam and I have been called to or initiated fasting during Holy Week. But this year was the first year that we experienced it with our church family, and that was really special. There was a fullness to it. There was a unity that we deeply appreciated. So these things that I share are not to say, wow, what a great church we have, but really what a great God we have and what God's purpose is for all of us when we come together and really love him and serve him together in unity. So if you would, let's pray again and just thank Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for leading and guiding us and gifting our church body to carry out your ministry. It's been so good to experience unity within our church family and see us love and serve you faithfully with joy. Jesus, we give you all the glory. In your name, amen.
Thank you. Romans 12, 9 through 11. Let love be genuine. Abhor, hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent. In spirit, serve the Lord. We thought and we prayed about intentional gospel relationships for our growth groups. Our growth groups learned to love genuinely by understanding the issues of trust we wrestled with and the family of origins. We learned to have compassion on those for whom trusting God is difficult. One of the growth groups saw new people come who were unbelievers, come in and ask questions, and they restructured their times, realizing that God was doing something different in their growth group, and they had to answer these questions. Where does God come from? what's he all about? And it really changed their growth group. And one of the people in that growth group has come to give her heart to Christ. We saw so many people trying to be honorable in their love for each other. So many people working hard to make much of Christ. Romans 12:12-13. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. We prayed together as a staff and we kept journals and we answered prayer and saw journals of the answered prayers. And we got to see Jesus in so many prayers, healing people, healing our hearts, speaking to us and leading us. We prayed with Brad and Tina Reynolds for the people of France to become believers. We prayed on Signal Hill. You saw a slide of that. We found out that we have people in our church burdened with the immigrant communities. In Long Beach, that are right here in Long Beach, we want to show them hospitality. We want to learn that. You know, in fact, I have... Yes, we did. Right around Easter time, we did a collection. Do you guys remember we collected household goods? And many of you, some of you, a few of us, participated in this. We're learning a lot about how to communicate, too. You know, Chris is a dynamic inspirer, and when he tells us to do something, we do it. But a few of us, several of us, got after this, and we collected household goods for amount of refugees that are being poured into Southern California. And we gave them the other week to World Relief. We took a load down there. And this is what they sent back. They said, "Dear Long Beach Alliance Church, thank you for your generous gift of cleaning and household welcome kits. Your investment Your investment in newly arrived refugee families is helping people like Zuma and Anzo. They make their new home in Southern California. 2 years, Zaman fled Afghanistan, and after helping the U.S. troops, he was living in fear for his life. He left behind his wife and their children. But last week, they were reunited with the help of our office, and they were able to find an apartment, and your gifts helped make it a little bit more like home. Thank you again for partnering with us." And, amen. You know, I'm reading these things, and they're a little bit embarrassing in some senses because they're about us and what we've done, but they're to return and say, "Jesus, we saw you call us to do this. We didn't think of this. So thank you." At this time, I'm going to call up Jesse because I want him to talk a little bit about the prayer times that we've had together, because we had a lot of prayer times as staff interceding. And, so Jesse.
I like talking with my hands, and so having to hold a microphone, I feel like I'm missing a limb.
Do you want to talk into my...
No, that's okay. I'll make do. Thank you, though. It's so kind. Look at this. Good pastor. This has been a very unusual season for me, being that me and my family got here about a year ago, and this is my first time as a youth pastor. And so for my first 6 months was this whole brand new learning experience of what it meant to be a pastor and be a part of a church, and then the senior pastor left, and everything I knew went away, and I had to start over again, and then in a couple weeks, it will all be brand new again, and so it's kept me on my toes. It's been fantastic. Shortly after Chris left, Scott gave each one of us on staff a prayer journal, and so we started doing this thing where each Monday morning we would gather together and we would read all of the prayer cards that came through. And we'd write them down in our journals and we would take them with us throughout the week to pray over. But not only that, we would spend a significant amount of time on those Monday meetings just praying. And they were a time that quickly became really a favorite for me. We had opportunities to celebrate and to be joyful together as a staff over all of the amazing things that God is doing in our church's life. And we got to grieve and struggle over the many struggles that are happening in the lives of our family here at church. We've been able to pour out our hearts before God on behalf of people that, especially me being new, don't even know who a lot of you are. But as a staff, we were able to do this. And we spent a significant amount of time just bringing all of your requests before the Lord. And most of them, we'll probably not ever hear what happened. But we know that God was there. We know that God was leading. Many of you were repeat prayer requesters. And it was so great to be able to walk through kind of what was happening in your life over the past 6 months. What an honor that was for us to be able to pray for you so consistently. And a lot of prayers weren't even based off any of your cards, but as a staff hoping to see our church move in a direction that is bringing new people in, that is being this light, that is shining what Jesus is doing in all of our lives, is somewhere we got to focus. So we're very, very excited about the direction that God is taking. We are very thankful for the way that he has allowed us that time each week to pray just for this church. It truly was an honor. So please don't stop writing those prayer requests. Please send them in, even more so. We love the opportunity to be able to pray for you. And we're very thankful for that. And right now, I would like to invite up Dia Slade. Give it up for Dia. Yeah.
Give it up for Jesse. Okay, so during our missions conference in March, we were invited to come here every morning from 7 to 8 to pray for France. And what we were doing was joining a movement called Pray for France that our missionaries, Brad and Tina Reynolds, have been doing for years. And I tend to be drawn to corporate prayer like that because I feel like it deepens my relationship with others as I hear their hearts. And it also widens my own personal prayer time as I listen to how the Holy Spirit guides others to pray. So, during the season of Lent, this Pray for France organization sends out daily information and suggestions for prayer for the needs of France and the French people. One morning, we prayed for the refugees from Muslim countries who are trying to get into England, but they are not allowed. They are living in a makeshift camps along the northwest border of France. They can see England, the place they believe will be the answer to all their problems, but they can't get there. And Christian organizations in France have taken this opportunity to serve these refugees and to share the gospel with them. And then another morning, we prayed for the youth of France. And we prayed with a hope that God would use this next generation to turn this country back to him. Several who were praying that morning knew youth in France. And so the prayer became much deeper as we prayed for them by name. One morning, my daughter Veronica asked if she could come with me. And I told her, you know, it's a whole lot of praying and almost no talking. But that did not deter her. She wanted to come, and so she came. And in the car on the way home, she said, "Mom, we prayed for a long time. That was fun." It was like a gift from God to me. And God gave me another gift just 2 weeks later. Okay, well, wait. Back in November of 2014, Scott and I had the opportunity to go to Toulouse, France, and explore ways to partner with the Epi Church that's there and an outreach group called the Tea Project. And one of the things we did was we ran a night of Awana at the Epi Church, and we also left Awana materials there in French for them. So then, moved to this year, I was invited to join Scott on a business trip to Barcelona at the end of March. And since Barcelona is so close to Toulouse, we decided to extend our trip and go to Toulouse. Scott sent an email to Benoit and Marcy asking if there was anything we can do. And the response we got back was, "Not really." So we just thought, well, we'll just go and we'll you know, see the missionaries that we met. We'll pray and, you know, we'll just have, you know, a time in Toulouse together. So then during our missions conference this year, Tina Reynolds pulled Scott aside and said that a woman from their church had been looking over those Awana materials that we had left and that she was very interested in starting Awana. And Tina was wondering if Scott could email her or call her or something. And he said, oh, no, I could do better than that. We're going to be in Toulouse in 2 weeks. So it all worked out. We had a meeting with them, and we met with her name is Bekel, and her husband's name is Terry. And we went to a dinner at their house, and we talked about Awana, and it felt like we were already friends, even though we had just met them. And then 3 weeks ago, we got an email from her telling us that they had full support from the Epi Church to start Awana, and Awana would be starting in the fall. That is quite a present to us. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so happy when we get to see you working and that you let us be a part of what you are doing. Thank you for hearing us and our prayers and letting us join you in your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's respond in worship. And you guys know me well enough, most of you, that I'm going to ask you to stand.
Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for
verse 14 and 15 of that same chapter. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Sermon on the Mount stuff. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. As the culture around us changes, we have seen a softening of our church to those who would persecute us or challenge our values. People from our church have been reaching out to be a blessing to people who don't know Jesus. And we rejoice this year with so many new babies. And with the Ryan family, we're going to talk about that in a second. We celebrated new marriages. We mourned with families. Grief share ministered. We celebrated new spiritual life with baptisms. We celebrated the Lord's Supper together often. We mourned and we fasted. We rejoiced on Easter and we celebrated the resurrection. To just kind of look at this a little bit in depth, I'm going to invite Kim up to share for a minute about the adoption and Jesus' work in that.
Good morning.
Good.
Is it on?
Keep talking.
Okay.
Talk right into it. Yell at it. Can you just leave my mic on? Can you just leave my stuff on? Because, I mean, that'd be great. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome. Fixed it right up for him. We have some pictures, too. Are they going to pop up there?
Yeah,
Okay, yeah, go ahead. You can start the slideshow. So our journey to Claire has been one of unexpected turns in directions that we didn't know God would take us. As many of you know, 6 years ago, we were blessed with our first daughter, Evangeline. My pregnancy with her was extremely difficult, and adoption was something we'd always talked about and seemed like would be the best choice for us. After going through the pregnancy with Evangeline, we thought that would make the most sense to just head that direction right away. When we were ready to grow our family again, we signed up with an adoption agency, and we wanted to do a private domestic newborn adoption because that's the easiest kind, the least risky, and the most straightforward. So we signed up, we started the enormous amount of paperwork and reading and classes, and then we waited to be matched with a child. About a year and a half into our wait, missions conference happened here at Long Beach Alliance Church, and there was a missionary from Mongolia, and he came to share with us the call to living out of our comfort zone for the sake of the gospel. Brady and I were up late one night talking about his sermon and what that means in our lives, and we got an email from our adoption agency saying that their China special needs adoption program needed families. So Brady and I kind of just looked at each other. I said, well, what do you think, honey? And he said, let's do it. I was kind of in shock. Oddly, even though I lived in China, I speak basic Mandarin, I've worked in Chinese orphanages, I have a love for those people, it hadn't crossed our minds to adopt from China until we got that email. And so, God just kind of used missions conference to bring that about for us. God steered our course in a whole different direction. I began to pray, please God, wherever our child is, let them be seen, let them be loved. We did fundraising. We had our fingerprints taken by every person on earth. We did mounds of paperwork. I even took a trip to China last year to visit some friends of mine that run an orphanage, kind of hoping maybe I would connect with one of the kids they work with. But Claire was not there. Claire was clear across China living with her foster family, being seen, being loved, and waiting to be chosen. It was October 26th, 2015, when we got the phone call we had been waiting for. There was a little girl who had just turned 3 in the care of a nonprofit organization called Love Without Boundaries, who had already been gifted with 2 surgeries for her cleft lip and palate. She was confirmed as an abandoned child at 7 weeks old and had been waiting from that time on. She was first in the care of an orphanage and then with a foster family, and she was just waiting till 3 years old for someone to say yes to take her home. We said yes. We knew we were saying yes to a child who had already experienced great loss in her short life. We knew we were saying yes to the possibility of difficult years ahead walking beside her and processing that trauma. We knew we were saying yes to an unknown medical history, complicated medical needs ahead, including surgeries and therapies and more. We knew we were saying yes to a 3-year-old who would already have passed the newborn stage and possibly reject bonding with us and have a different idea about what family is than ours. We knew we were saying yes to a huge family adjustment. What we didn't know, though, is that we were saying yes to watching God provide every penny for the very expensive adoption in ways we never imagined. We didn't know we were saying yes to feeling the love of the body of Christ in a whole new way. We didn't know we were saying yes to a child who would be such a good match in friendship and love to our daughter. We didn't know we were saying yes to a snuggly, happy, spunky, outgoing, organized, smart, gentle, and cute beyond imagination, Claire. We didn't know we were saying yes to watching God graft her into our family so naturally, to the point where we sometimes forget she hasn't always been with us. We didn't know we were saying yes to experiencing God's nearness as we struggled through the very difficult first month and watched him answer every prayer. We didn't know we were saying yes to the weight of looking into the eyes of our daughter, feeling love unexplainable, and experiencing the hurt of the words like orphan and abandoned. We didn't know we were saying yes to God opening our eyes to the reality of what it really means that he took us in as orphans and made us sons and daughters. Please pray with me. Jesus, we celebrate that you made our church family, a family that experiences life together. We together celebrate the good things you've done. We together shoulder the burden that mourning brings. We thank you for the great things you've done, especially in bringing Claire home to us, and for our spiritual adoption into your family. We also pray for the families that are in mourning. We ask for your great comfort, Lord, as we grieve together the times of loss that we've experienced this season. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us eternally. Amen.
Great story, huh? Verse 16 through 18. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. We saw marriages struggle and be restored. We learned about this program called How We Love, and we saw people in the church reconciled. I'm going to invite Pastor Matt up, and he's not here. So it's going to be Pastor Matt for a minute. Hi. How are you guys? Good? All right. I'm pretty chill. But I'm about marriages and families, and I'm right here in Gospel Project right now with families. Yeah, that's what I do. But we, Laurel and I, have been trained through some really marvelous materials. It's called How We Love. And we've used these materials and we have seen Jesus transform people's hearts and their lives and their marriages with these materials. So we want you to know that two things. We have this material and we're training some folks here to begin to use it. That's number one. So broader will be our scope for healing. Number two, we're going to do a giant, Laurel, is that right? We're going to do a giant, oh, never mind, she's not here. She is. Laurel, it's a February conference, right? Right. So How We Love is coming here in February. The weekend before what? I heard it. Yeah. I just wanted to be Matt there for a minute, but am I doing fairly good? This will be amazing, guys. I don't mean to kid around about marriages. Pastorally, you know, we work hard at these things, but to spread that out and to use the giftings that God has given us to do that, that'll be amazing. And you want to come up? Come on up here. Come on up. Yeah. Oh, we're done with your segment.
Do you have a script for me? Is there something I'm supposed to read?
Nope. Is this on? Oh, awesome. Hey, guys. Hi. <I'm... laughs> I'm not preaching though, am I? I'm not preaching right now. Okay. Sorry for the delay. We were reflecting on this past spring, like what God's been doing, and one of the things that I've seen personally, and I've had a lot of fun doing, is seeing God work in marriages. A lot of this happens, you know, behind closed doors, but I've seen God use a tool from How We Love, this conference that my wife and I went to, and then we started meeting with Mylon, and he's been counseling us for 2.5 years, meeting with us and helping us through this material and how to communicate and how to connect with each other, not just in marriage, but in any relationship. So it's just been an eye-opening thing for me. And then I've seen God begin to use it here, with marriages here, marriages in crisis, premarital. It's been awesome. So I invited Mylon to come. He's going to come in February. Mylon and his wife Kay, there they are, and they're going to do a conference here Friday and Saturday night, the 10th and 11th of February. That's right before Valentine's Day. So I would encourage you to just check that out. Even if you're not married, this is just a relationship conference, okay? And it's extremely valuable. I would say if there's any way you can get here, please make it happen, okay? So let's pray. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. Jesus, we love you. Thank you so much for providing us a place to worship you. And we want to acknowledge just how great you are, Lord, and how faithful you've been this last spring and now heading into summer, God. We want to see you more. We want to see your glory and your power more and more. God, we thank you for marriage. We thank you for the relationships that we have in the church. We ask, Lord, that you would help us, like John 17, where Jesus prayed that his disciples would display you by their love for one another. We pray that in our relationships that we would display you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can leave it on. Yeah. Verse 19 and 20. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. We're learning to be more compassionate, to let God be God and the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. We've connected better with some of our community. We've had a continuing program here for years called NA, and I've asked Yvonne to kind of finish our time this morning by sharing about the good things Jesus is doing in that. We also have welcomed refugees. I read you the card from that. We're going to hopefully do more in those areas as Yvonne's coming up. We decided to open our facility to be used by some groups that don't share our core values. We're learning to work better with Christians that aren't here at LBAC, and we are learning more thoughtful and compassionate responses to the issues of sexual identity. So, Yvonne, share with us for a couple minutes.
Good morning. Can you hear me? I'm not used to holding one of these. So, anyway, I am a member of the Friday night Narcotics Anonymous meeting here and have been since the beginning when a member of this church approached staff and asked if they could allow us to use their facility for this vital ministry. And so basically Narcotics Anonymous is a fellowship. It's not a spiritual program, but it's a fellowship for drug addicts and alcoholics that are looking for a way to live a clean and sober life. And so how that works in this church is you know, the steps in the 12-step Narcotics Anonymous program are they lead people to a God of their understanding, because a lot of the people that walk into these rooms on a Friday night just coming off of drugs and stuff would never walk into a church building for church. There's a lot of shame, guilt, and bad religion, bad experiences, all kinds of stuff. And drug addicts are broken people, and that's the reason that they use drugs and alcohol, is to to cover a lot of hurt and pain. And so what God is doing in the gym on Friday nights and has been doing for a long time is bringing people into the rooms. And then there's several believers that attend this Friday night meeting, more than most of the meetings that I go to. They call this meeting here the Jesus meeting. Woohoo! Which is, to the glory of God, amen, but so what it has done is it allows us to, and this is a missional thing. It's not just the NA meeting over here. We hear about when our missionaries go into other places in the world, and you have to build relationships with people that are different than you or people that don't think like you do. It has to start on a relationship level. It can't just be pounding them over the head with the gospel because they're going to run the other way. And so it's allowed us to, Paul and I and several people who are believers, to just minister to these people that are hurting and are looking for something. They just don't know what it is. And so we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus every Friday here. And in just the world around us, we all get to be that, though. God uses all of us in different ways, in different capacities. It just so happens that I'm a recovering drug addict. And so I can relate to how it feels to have one day clean off of drugs and alcohol and all the stuff that goes with that, the shame and the guilt. And I'm here to testify what the Lord has done in my life once I started to really realize how much God loves me and the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So thank you for this church. And, this church body, a lot of you interact with the NA people on Friday nights coming in and out of here and stuff. And it showed these people that we as a church family are just regular people, because a lot of them have preconceived ideas that we are judging them, that they are different than us. We stay away from them because they're scary. And so they've seen the hands and the feet of Jesus for many of you sitting here today. So thank you.
We're about ready to close for today. God has been good, amen? He will be good, amen? We're going to respond. Let's stand together as we respond in prayer. Let's read this together. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so well. We celebrate the good things that you have done for us. We ask that you would give your church even more boldness to live out the gospel in the days ahead. We ask that your name will be spoken of in great ways, both in our city and to the ends of the world. In Jesus' power, we pray. Amen.